Blog Talk Radio.
That might help. Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Hey, I thought the show was canceled.
It's all right.
No, I'm sitting here talking it, and my phone is on mute. That is all on me. That is so my fault. Oh, well. Yeah, I know, right? Hey, technical difficulty. That's how it goes sometimes. Want to ask you guys a question in regards to the NFL Combine. This is what this podcast is. 3-1. Who is watching? Who is watching the NFL Combine as they put it on ABC yesterday as a Saturday showcase? That's not good for me. I don't think that's...
I can't lie to you.
You did?
Check out bits and pieces.
I did. I have. Certain people, you know, huh? I don't know.
Why?
It's an athletic feat. I just want to see what somebody's got, you know. I mean, granted, just because you do great at the combine don't make you a great pro. But, you know, just want to see. I love sports.
Really?
How about that? Yeah. I didn't
start
watching the entire thing,
but
I have.
But that's not
it's
sport.
An athletic, it's an athletic feat.
Well,
how about that?
It's sports related.
The inner.
Right.
Lou, you said you was in and out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because they don't show you everything. So I just was able to catch what I saw, what I heard through various sources. And remember, these could be your stars in the future, somewhat. But of course, some do tend to skip out because they want to wait for
right.
their what they call the pro.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me see what Derek thinks about this. What's up, D? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm sitting here playing with Junior, man, watching him spit up nasty. Oh, man. Man, they just pour out of them, so, man. There ain't no stopping.
Right.
Hey, no,
but yes,
well,
sir.
There is
yes,
no
sir.
Need to. It's no need to ask you if you watch NFL Combine because you're occupied.
Oh, no. Actually, I kept like one eye on it a lot. What we talking about?
You.
I just got here. What we talking about?
I just want to know who is watching it. That's what I'm saying. This is my question. It is actually a rhetorical question, but okay. Who is watching the NFL Combine?
I ain't gonna tell you no lie, man. I was watching it. I would, man, until my 14-year-old daughter and my wife came in there, and my little girl was like, "Ooh, daddy, he fine." I was like, "Nope, turn the TV." I ain't got time for this. Before that, you know what I mean? I had been checking out the running backs. I think Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers had just got through running. You know what I mean? And I was real impressed with Taylor running the legit 4.39 twice, and you know,
exactly.
Cam Akers knocked out for a solid 4.41. You know what I mean? But hey, she messed it all up, man. I ain't playing. Me and my son was all settled in. The baby was sitting there like he was actually watching TV, and then she just ruined it for everybody.
Right.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
So I guess that answers.
Well, can everybody
that
guess?
Answers my question. Yeah, that
right.
Answers my question. Who's watching? Because I have no interest in it. I just don't. I'm sorry. I have no interest in it. You know, anybody that listens to this podcast, Zach, you know me. D, you know me. I don't like preseason. I don't like practice. I don't care for spring ball. I just don't care for none of that stuff. So the NFL Combine just has.
So you're saying the spring ball and practice is not important then? So you're saying because, you know, so they should just
no.
get out there and play. They have no need for that.
Okay.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is it don't really mean anything. Like, you can get out there and listen. Listen, I'm a Seminole fan. And a couple of years back, bro, we had George Campbell here. George Campbell lit it up. In his first spring game, I'm talking about, bro, he looked like the Knicks coming to Randy Moss. And I think over the next
right.
three seasons, we saw George Campbell catch like four passes. So
I remember
his disdain for spring ball.
I do too. Trust me, I do. I trust me, I do. Okay. I get it.
I used to kind of dig those combine though, man. I like kind of the dog and pony show. Because you always have that one dude that's like the next classification of Mike Mamula, where he come out and just kill
right.
the combine, and you be staying in your mind, this dude is the next Vernon Golston or whoever. He going to come out, he going to look like a workout warrior. And then when
right.
they put pads on, he going to look like a walking marshmallow. Like, so I get a kick out of that part of watching, and everybody's going, wow. And you turn
me
on
too.
His tape, and you never see him do anything noteworthy. And you wonder how people that smart can screw up that badly.
Right.
Because you can't measure heart, D. That's how.
No,
right.
I understand that. That's true. So
the
true.
The tape don't lie.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's true, too, but you can't measure heart because one of the things that I've always taken from the NFL draft, recruiting, NBA draft, or whatever. I don't even follow Major League Baseball draft because they pick like 100 rounds loose, so I can't get into that.
Yeah, I don't know that much.
That's what
I do in reports. I always go just like the first round, like the first 30 teams or whatever, because if I went through the whole thing, that would take me like 3 days. I ain't got time to do all
that.
Yeah,
but Lou, you don't get to see Major League Baseball top players until 3 years after they drafted. So, you know,
right. the reason why
the
I don't do the whole thing.
A little bit. Got you. But let me ask you this. Now, I don't care about preseason, but I have been paying closely to spring training. The Houston Astros are getting thrown at, Lou. They're getting hit with baseball.
What a shock.
Now, let me ask you this. If that continues in the regular season, how many brawls would the Houston Astros be involved in this year, do you think? Over
157.
Give me a number.
Two per game every game this season.
They're gonna run out of players, man. They're gonna be playing with the emergency.
I know, but look, I mean, this has been in the making, and it's gonna be an ugly season for the Astros. Maybe an ugly season for baseball all around. Get ready, guys.
Do you agree with
it?
Do you agree with throwing? But let me ask you this: do you agree with throwing baseballs at guys in preseason?
No, of course not. That's taking it too far. It's preseason. It doesn't mean anything, but they're still doing it because they're feeling resentment towards this. So that's the reason why they're there.
But what about the regular season? What if somebody throws that Jose Altuve? What if somebody throws that
Bregman? It's going to happen.
Throws that Springer. But I'm just saying, do you agree with it, yes
though.
Or no? But I'm asking y'all, do
no,
you agree
I don't
with
agree
it?
With it, but I know it's going to happen.
So if they throw at Jose Altuve, he got every right to go out there with that bat and hit somebody, right?
Yes, he does. Yes,
oh,
he
yeah.
Does.
Believe it.
Yes, he
believe
does.
Believe it. He's going to be like that. Remember the dude in Cuba that turned around and karate kicked the catcher?
Yep.
Yep.
Him first.
Y'all remember that?
Uh-huh.
Y'all know what I do. Every time y'all hit one of my dudes, I'm turning around. I'm teaching all my people how to kick that tree like the dude on Bloodsport. I'm going to try to split your helmet every time y'all hit one.
I just think. Lou, let me ask you this. Are you a Yankees fan, Lou? Yeah, Lou,
I've been
a Yankees
fan before I could talk.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Weren't you guys one of the teams that was supposed to be alleged last year in the sign stealing scandal videotaping?
Yep.
Was your team one of the teams?
No.
As
contrary to popular beliefs, no, we were not one of the teams.
No. You were.
Yeah,
you
were.
You want me to pull an article? Yes, you want me to pull. You want me to pull an article for you?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was the Yankees.
You guys were led.
It was the Yankees, the Sox, I think the Mets or somebody. It was like four different teams.
The Mets.
And the Dodgers. Don't forget the Dodgers and the Red
yeah,
Sox.
Yeah.
And the
like
Astros.
Different teams.
Those were the teams. Want to welcome this young man in. How you doing, Walter? Good evening, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm sorry I'm late. We had some last-minute things and dropping off my nephew from Chuck E. Cheese. Can y'all hear me clearly?
Yeah,
we
can.
Fine.
Good.
Fine, but
good.
You didn't have to bring the pizza in. You told us about pizza. We all hungry now.
you know, I was so hungry and Chuck E. Cheese used to take
the
good.
For us?
Yeah, that
yeah, I'm
pizza.
Sorry.
Let me ask you a question. Well, let me ask you about spring training. They're throwing baseballs at the Houston Astros players. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, certainly, like I said, you want to put some type of discipline in place for the players, but at the same time, they're not the only ones that's doing it. I'm quite sure that, you know, it could be the Yankees. You know, because anytime you start throwing a lot of, you know, stones at people, you know, guess what? Someone can easily throw about 3 or 4 stones at you. So that's the reason why I'm in favor of just, you know, stripping them of the titles, making a statement for the rest of the league, so everyone will get their act along the line. But they're not the only ones.
The players want retribution. The players want to handle it. They don't care about the stripping of the titles. The players want to handle it. So, is that
yeah,
the proper way to go about it?
I don't believe so, because then if you start doing that, you're gonna open a Pandora's box. That when something else comes down the line, they're gonna say, "Well, you allowed them to do this. Now, why don't you allow them to do this here?"
Dean, let me ask you a question in regards to go ahead, Zach, real quick.
Let me tell you something. Put it this way. Come on, man. Now, anytime you allowing players to throw a baseball 100 miles out at my head, you're talking about murder. And so you condone the murder. Okay, that's where I look at it. You condone the murder, okay, if you don't stop it. And you need to stop it now. They need to stop it. Because guess what? If you throw 100 miles an hour at my head, I'm throwing 100 miles an hour at your head. And don't forget, they got to stop it, okay? And that's what it's going to be. You condone a murder. You're going to kill someone. You're saying it's okay to go ahead and kill someone.
Anybody else want
to
add to that?
And you know what? The other thing is, if you start opening that Pandora's box where pitcher A wants to start throwing at the top player of the Astros, and you mess around and hit that person in the head, you know, we were talking about my man from the Cleveland Browns. What was the linebacker
right.
who ended up you know, you can end up having another scenario like that. And certainly, you don't want that. I get people want to pound flesh, but you got to just put things in their perspective and just say, hey, look, going forward, you know, here's how we'll handle it.
Well, I had one thought on that. You know how the NFL is like overly picky about quarterbacks getting hit, and the NBA refs do a really good job of protecting the superstars in basketball. When baseball players get hurt, you know what I mean, even if it's on accident, they freak out. You know what I mean? Remember when A-Rod got his hand broke, dude hit him with the pitch, and I don't even think he was trying to hit him. You know what I mean? So the thing that's gonna happen is somebody's star player is gonna get hit in one of their games. And baseball is going to have to take a hard look at this and say, listen, we're going to be without a bunch of our star players if we don't get this crap under control. Because Houston plays a lot of people. Y'all play everybody. And if everybody feel like they can start throwing at you, because everybody's talking about getting hit in the head. Well, see, you got helmets on your head, but you ain't got no helmets on your arms. You ain't got helmets on your forearms, your hands, which you need for hitting.
Correct.
You ain't got no helmets on your knees. None of that stuff. So all it's going to take is for one prominent dude to get hurt in some BS behind this whole they stole some sign things, and then something real drastic is going to happen. They're going to suspend somebody for an unrealistically long amount of games, and everybody's going to lose their mind, but it's going to be a problem that they could have fixed earlier. It's like Walter said, listen, go on and stop it now. Let's get it over with. If you're going to do it, every time you hit somebody, throw them out the game, suspend them for their next start or whatever it is. They start digging in their pockets. Everybody will get over their pride real quick. Be like, look, if the league ain't doing nothing, there ain't nothing we can do about it. Because if that's the case, all you're going to have is you're going to have some wild, wild west stuff going on in baseball. It's a fair fight. Yep. He had a ball, I had a bat.
Hey, you know it's going to transition off the field. It's going to transition off the field because here's the thing. I'm coming to your locker room for you, and I'm going to go to whoever I got to go to get to you. Okay, so it's going to transition off the field. And I'm the type of person, I'll come to your house.
No, exactly.
Nah.
It will transition off the field. We got the prayer.
No, go on.
Yeah, but
it's
about fight happen on the field.
No, it will. Y'all say that.
If
you think about it, somebody's
life. They can fight right there.
That's what I'm shooting.
Yeah, it's not
going to. Somebody's life. 100 miles per hour baseball is someone's life.
It won't go that far, Zach. It'll be ugly, and I think.
Yeah.
Here's just my thought process about the situation. I think the first month of the season, you can forget about it. They're not going to throw no baseballs at nobody because they're going to all be giving that stern warning from Major League Baseball to say, look, we're not having that. Look, it's over with. We dealt with it. But it's the middle of the summer when them pennant races and that tension gets a little higher, and somebody's going to be like, yeah, well, we remember when Houston did this or they did that, and I think it's going to be somebody. I think you're going to have one ugly incident in baseball involving the Astros. I don't think it'll be in April, but I think around June, July, I think you're going to get it. But I don't think it. I don't think it's going to go to that point to where somebody's going to go that far because they've gotten in some very ugly brawls, and it's never spilled over past. I think I remember when I might date myself. Somebody got plunked in the head. And the guy took a bat out there. I can't remember who it was, but the guy took the bat out there, and they went on for a while. They stopped it, then they went on for a while. I think it was the Dodgers and the Reds or something like that, or the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks or something like that. I mean, every time they looked up, somebody was, and Yasiel Puig, who is as big as a linebacker. He just wouldn't calm down. He refused to. He had Zach's mentality. Mm-hmm. He was like, look, I'm getting somebody. I don't care who it is. I'm going to
get
somebody.
Wait, what do you guys feel?
Let me ask you guys.
I understand what you're saying.
Huh?
Go ahead. No,
right.
I was going to say, but
no, go ahead.
I was going to say, in my mind, because I know you're doing it on purpose. It's not an accident. When I know you purposely coming at me, come on. That's a different story. When I know it's done purposely.
I will say this. It's very rarely that they throw baseballs at a guy's head. Very rare. Lou, you can back me up in my mind.
I'm saying the head, but it could be any part of my body. It could be any part of my body. When I know
baseball,
he's purposely doing it, get the mat. Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, getting hit with a baseball has to hurt. I mean, it broke Alex Rodriguez's hand
in
a game. Yeah. Or, Yeah, so it's got to hurt. I agree with you there, but I don't think they very rarely throw it. Now, if they throw it at a guy's head, like the Marlins threw at a guy's head a couple years ago against the Braves. The Marlins and the Braves got this thing where the Marlins plunked Robert Acuña Jr. because he hot dogged around the bases one time. So when he came up, they plunked him in the shoulder. Well, the Braves threw, because the Marlins got no stars. They sold everybody. But anyway, they threw at one of the Marlins players. They threw at his head. Now, they go back and forth, and they kept doing it until finally somebody said, look, you throw at somebody else, we coming out there to handle this. And that's just usually how that goes. But you very rarely see them throw at somebody's head. I haven't. It's usually in the lower back, at the shoulder, or something. It may get away. Now, if you hit somebody in the head, they usually say, hey, it got away. That's usually how it goes.
Right.
I know what's not getting away. I want to ask you guys about the NFL Players Association. The have-nots say, look, we want this deal. The haves say, no, we don't want to play an extra game. So, D, you predicted this last week. So what is your thoughts about what's going down with the NFL Players Association and, well, all the members? What do you think about
Well, this is the thing. The haves are outnumbered by the have-nots by like 30 to 1. So if that's the case and it's just a majority vote, the one thing I was happy about watching it was that at least most of the player reps thought about somebody other than themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because
all of the people that you heard talking about it were the guys that make over $15 million a year. Everybody that already make a boatload of money and they don't need no more money, they're the only ones that are complaining about it. You haven't heard one second or third tier dude open his mouth because he knows it's a benefit to him. It's a benefit to him. It's just not a benefit to the guy who's already making the most money anyway. Nobody cares if it's not a benefit to you. You're making more money than you're going to spend.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let them guys who ain't eating eat for once. Don't stop being selfish. This ain't AAU no more. This ain't high school. This ain't 7-on-7. This is real life. These people need to feed their families just like you do. So I was happy about that, but I told y'all that was going to happen.
Yep.
Lou, let me ask you this question in regards to the NFL Players Association and this this possible vote that's going to happen between they're going to have a full member vote. Since the 32 reps couldn't overwhelmingly do it, they're going to let all the players vote. Now, you're going to 17 games possibly in 2021. Should they expand the roster at least?
Absolutely.
But they did.
To 55.
That was
the
part of the deal. They expanded the roster. They expanded the roster by three spots. They made a conditional IR, which means if a guy is hurt, he can actually take the time to get well without his season being over, which means people who actually have real injuries can take the time off instead of where he can fight through it because he don't want his season to be over because then he's going to lose all his bonuses. He's going to lose all his seasons played, which means he's going to take up an extra year to get the free agency. They're trying to fix all of that stuff. They just, like I said, it's the people who make a bunch of money already who don't care about those things who are complaining.
So
they did. They did that.
They only go on to 58 spots.
Yeah, but when you had 52 or 53, if somebody went on IR, you replaced that guy, but his season was over, which means anything that he could earn was done. Well, at least now you can just bring people up, so you got more opportunities for more people. The practice squad guys got it expanded, and the practice squad guys who are actually practicing, who are out there being the hitting dummies, getting more money per workout, per week, per all that. These are all the people who need the money.
Did they up the revenue sharing though? Is the revenue sharing up to 50% like it is in baseball and basketball?
The revenue sharing is still at 49%, but because they're getting a new TV deal and they're getting a couple of other new streams of revenue, including overseas, the money that they're sharing goes up. Plus, they increase all the minimums. They increase every minimum, rookie minimum, veteran minimum, all of the minimums went up, which is why I said the people who have are going to be the ones who complain. I'm fascinated.
It says every veteran minimum or every player minimum is going to go up. Here's where I'm at with this, though, and I got to get you guys' opinion about this. I don't like it. I really don't. Okay, here it is. The pay raise is going to go up from $495,000 up to $675,000. That's going to be the veteran minimum. And
right.
A player injured during the course during the season will receive 100% of his salary up to $2 million compared to 50% in a maximum of $1.2 million. So if Russell Wilson gets hurt during the course of the season and he makes $17 million a year, he's only getting $2 million of those dollars. But his 17 is going to count against
the
cap.
That's if you only have the minimum.
Right.
That's if you only have the minimum.
Exactly.
If you got a high salary,
no.
They don't cut your salary.
That's what this proposal is. If you have the minimum.
If you have the minimum, you get your base salary. You just don't get all your bonuses.
Well, they got this proposal. This is what the proposal says. It says a player injured. It doesn't say nobody's whatever. during the season, we receive 100% of his salary up to $2 million. That's interesting that they would go. I hope that's not the case, because I would see why the veteran or the top guy would be really upset if that's the case. You mean I'm only gonna get $2 billion of my dollars if I'm injured? But I don't know. Maybe that's not worded right by the Los Angeles Times. Every club can bring as many as three players back from injured reserve compared to two. Added practices will be limited to 16 per season instead of 28. So get ready for more bad football. The active roster will increase by two players and the practice squad by four. So they're going to increase the rosters by, look like, six players. Mm-hmm. There's two active players and four practice squad. Okay. And that's my question. Walter, let me ask you this. Is the XFL really is what driving this, I guess you could say, this stalemate between the haves and have-nots of the NFL players? And the have-nots look at it like, well, hey, the XFL is showcasing these players that can possibly take my job. So maybe I need to try to get as much as I can while I'm in the league. Do you think that could be driving the have-not players to agree to this agreement?
I believe that's possible. That's possible based on two things. Number one, the quality of the product overall, and I think in terms of how the viewers and everyone are responding to it. And then two is just in terms of overall the quality of the talent. If the NFL starts to see individuals that there are more just as good qualified people, that's possible. I think that is possible. That's possible, but at the same time, I believe they are in the driver's seat. You know, anytime you deal with change, our human reaction, our normal human reaction sometimes is our first inclination to buck against change, and sometimes that change can be for our betterment, but we're still bucking against it. So, you know, you raise a great point there that the XFL. But on that same topic of the XFL, you know, I've watched a couple of games. The thing that confuses me about the XFL is that, you know, the NFL does a very good job, other than being mic'd, to not a lot of stuff to be heard during the games. Other than if you just, let's say, Richard Sherman is mic'd up, or Johnny Manziel is mic'd up or something. But the XFL is putting such an emphasis on being mic'd up. I mean, what's driving that? Because when I hear or listen to a lot of this stuff, I'm like, how is that real fan interaction?
I can answer that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Please.
What they did was they looked at it as entertainment. So what they did was they took the NBA model for personality, showcase. So, like, you know how the NBA will randomly just pick a dude. It's usually sometimes it's stars, but sometimes it's just a dude on the bench that get in the game for 20 minutes, and they mic this dude up, or they have a coach that's mic'd up. and it gives the fan a chance to see this dude's personality and see all that. That's where I think that came from. I think the emphasis on entertainment is something that they figured could really be catchy. I think it's kind of whack, but you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't know who these dudes is, and like you listen to some of them. None of these people have ever had speaking coaches ever.
Right. I'm listening to a defensive coach in the booth, and I'm like,
yeah.
Am I watching any given Sunday? Right.
Right.
Now, or
basically, that's what you're watching.
Right.
Right.
They're focusing on the entertainment of it, hoping that it's going to really get the league a jump in popularity because it's a kind of behind the curtain scene of what happens in football. That's what that is.
Right. But they gotta go that route because the quality of football, if you're a football purist, you're looking at it like, okay, it's lacking a little bit. So they try to take another angle to get it to pop towards, I guess you could say, that particular person. They're gonna get the casual fan because of that entertainment value that they're providing with the mic'd up and giving you that inside access during the course of a game. So that's what that is. But that's funny that you bring that up. Zach, you still with the XFL or have you turned it off yet?
For me?
I'm still watching.
I'm asking Zach.
I ain't gonna lie.
You still with it?
I ain't watching since the second week, bro. I listen,
see,
Junior keep me so busy on the weekend, I ain't had time to look at too much of nothing.
right.
What about you, Zach? Are you still following?
No, I don't follow per se. I mean, I watch here and there. I'm not gonna lie. It's not NFL, so I'm not all into it. Okay, not as of you know. But I do watch to see the bull crap people gonna say. That, like you said, the entertainment. I do just to see who gonna mess up, who gonna cut somebody out, or whatever the case may be.
That's the best part.
So, the reality. That's my reality TV. I don't watch the other bull crap. So, you know.
All right, let's turn our attention to the NBA. Last night, like I said, the Houston Rockets and the Celtics played. The Rockets got away with one. The Celtics played well, but the Rockets were able to prevail in overtime. Great shot by Jaylen Brown sending that game in overtime, by the way. These are two small ball lineups. Seems like everybody's starting to adapt Houston style a little bit. Miami's starting to adapt a little bit. I noticed Houston's adapted. Not Houston, Memphis has adapted a little bit to that small line, small ball lineup. Is the Rockets doing something? Did the Rockets get the rest of the league to realize that, hey, let's just worry about putting five best quality guys out there, no matter size or height, and let's see what happens?
Uh-huh.
Is that what the NBA come to now?
They have, but they didn't invent it. Miami Heat did.
Yeah, I remember when Miami Heat were doing it.
But those guys were taller.
Chris Bosh and, you know, Bosh and Udonis Haslam. And you have LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You had Wade.
You had a bunch of basketball players.
Even Golden State was doing it to a certain point because you really don't really have any too big. Like when Golden State won their first championship with Andrew Bogut, you know, he was more of a true pure five.
Right.
But even Golden State has kind of, to a degree, gotten to that where you don't have that true center anymore. I think with Houston, by you taking Capella off of it, it's just very glaring and telling right now. But I believe that's going to come back in the playoffs in a 7-game series because, you know what, Clippers have the ability to go small, but at the same time, when it comes time for matchups, coaches like Doc Rivers, coaches like Vogel, coaches like, depending on where, you know, Billy Donovan is, you know, they're not sitting Steven Adams down, especially if Steven Adams and Paul end up getting a good pick and roll on, let's say, Houston. If Steven is clicking, they're not going to let that go. And that's going to come back and bite.
But who's he guarding on defense? But let me ask you, who will he guard on defense? Who's he guarding?
Yeah, I agree with you. He's going to be a liability.
CJ Tucker?
Yeah,
but PJ Tucker just stands in the corner. PJ Tucker just stands in the corner. He's going to take him away from the basket. So that negates your big.
Well, Will, you actually hit on this. I don't know if everybody remember, but when we talked about this at the beginning of the season, and Will was talking about Houston, and I was like, nah, this going to suck because Westbrook can't shoot. And you said one thing that I do remember. You said that if Russell Westbrook has that much space to drive one-on-one, it's going to be a nightmare for people. And as soon as they committed pulling for small ball, dude took off with an average like 33 and like 11 in the last 10 games or something ridiculous like that. So I think you might have been on to something. And I heard what Lou said, but in a 7-game series, if you really think about what they got to do in the West, if you got the Lakers and you can eliminate the use for JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, mm-hmm. and now you have AD, and you got Russell Westbrook and James Harden coming downhill drawing fouls on these people, you might have more of a problem than you think, because which one of them is LeBron going to guard?
Neither.
You know what I mean? Westbrook is too big for Rondo. He's too big for Avery Bradley. If you put LeBron on it, he can't stay in front of him. You know what I mean? That kind of is a wash on offense on both ends, but on offense for Houston, he's going to get the whole front line in foul trouble. And we know what James Harden does. He just draws fouls, you know what I mean? Like, broke people collect, whatever. You get what I'm saying?
But that's like, why, Boston is so much a headache right now, because the way Jason Tatum is playing, you can't put a big on that kid. I know he's 6'9", he looks 6'10", but you can't put a big on
Anthony
that kid
Davis.
Because
he killed Anthony Davis.
And the Miami Heat, I watched their game, their last two games. When they put Derrick Jones Jr. in the lineup over those two, Myles Leonard and Kelly Olynyk, the floor opened up
off.
Even more for Jimmy Butler. So it's almost like the NBA, like everybody's just said, you know what, Houston may be on something. Let's space the floor. I get what you guys said about the Miami Heat. But you talk about 6'11", 6'9", and Udonis is 6'8". Darren Charlton Center in Houston is 6'5". The dude is 6'5".
He might be 6'5". But it's not Chris Bosh's fault that he was 6'11 and had the skill of a guard. Like, that wasn't his fault. Like, that's where that came from. But I will agree with you on 2 points. The only thing I would say is, if they allow them, this is my only concern with what Houston does. For some weird reason, the NBA decides in the playoffs, we don't call fouls no more, which is stupid, because if you allow a guy 82 games to get used to playing a certain way, and then in the playoffs, the same foul that he just got for 6 months, he no longer gets. How are you supposed to adjust to that from day to day or from game to game? If the games are officiated the way that they officiate them in the regular season, which I doubt it will really have, Houston will be a nightmare for anybody. The only thing is, we all know that's not going to happen. So in the playoffs, a lot of these hits on the arms and stuff that Westbrook and Harden get, that was the problem with Harden. That's why he could never beat Golden State, because the refs would swallow the whistle, and all that flailing that he do in the regular season that they give him that he got used to, he can't get in the playoffs. So it's all going to depend on the level of physicality that Houston goes into the game with. If they go not looking for the refs to make the call and they just going to play ball, they can beat anybody. But if it goes the other way and James Harden is turning around holding his arms up while everybody running down on defense, they're going to get mauled quick.
Let me ask you guys about the situation between Giannis and James Harden. What do you guys think about this social media fake back and forth clap? What they call it, clap back between these men. What do you guys think about it? I'm going to start with you first. What do you think about it?
I'm
Lou,
you there? Who are you starting with?
Lou. I'm going to start with Lou.
Okay.
No,
I'm totally hearing it through all the, I think like the windstorm that's going on over there.
Windstorm
also.
All right, there we go.
Okay, that's better.
Okay, there we go. We better. Okay,
there
we go.
That's better. Okay, could you repeat that again? Because I couldn't hear the whole thing.
No, let me ask you, what do you think about the social media, the interview or whatever it was between James Harden and Giannis? They were going back and forth.
You mean that fake storyline? Come on. First of all, I don't really believe anything that's heard on social media. I mean, because that's basically just a bunch of gossip. I don't really believe in what they say on social media.
Welcome to the new millennial.
Actually, it wasn't on social media. That was an interview with Rachel Nichols.
That was an interview.
That's right.
That
was on ESPN. That was a Rachel Nichols interview, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Don't come messing with my Rachel now.
Hey, is it?
No. But it's a real interview.
It was a real interview.
Right.
Right.
But what you think about the back and forth?
That was a little harsh.
It was. You thought. Who you think was harsh? James Harden or Giannis? Which one?
James Harden got too sensitive about
right.
something because you
yeah,
know some of the parts that Giannis said are true, like the fact that he was like it takes no skill to be 7 foot and dunk. Like apparently you haven't been watching this dude play because outside of maybe Kobe and D Wade, this dude probably got and Manu, he probably got the best Euro step I've ever seen, by far the best for a dude that big. His handles are great.
Yes.
His ball handling is good.
Yeah.
His vision
right.
is good. His passing is good. His defense is good. Like, I don't know what you've been watching, but he do a whole lot more than dunk. The problem is nobody else is big enough to stop him from dunking. Like, that's not his fault.
No.
Right.
It isn't. But I wanted to bring up a different question, though, concerning about another player who I think is actually, you know, kind of like a schmuck, if you ask me.
Okay.
Well, wait till I hear the name first, and then see if you agree. You guys have heard of Joel Embiid, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, last week he made a comment saying, I'm the best player in the world. You know why I say to that? You've got to be kidding. Embiid
is
the best player in the world?
What is he supposed to say? Well, what is he supposed to say? He's going
to
say,
I'm not the best player in the world.
No, I don't want him to be honest either. I want him to believe that he's the best player if I'm a Philly fan.
But he's not. Maybe the best player of the team, maybe, but
well,
in the world, he thinks, no.
Listen, can I get Lou on this one?
Here it comes.
There are some nights when you actually may be the best player in the world. You're not going to be that every day. People say that all the time, but LeBron is not the best player in the world every night. Like last night when they got their heads handed to him, he wasn't the best player in the world. He was
right.
a dude that looked like he was very disinterested after this team jumped out on them real fast. So I don't even like the term the best dude in the world. Because it's a dude at a playground somewhere right now that could probably step to
Thank
the
you.
People would go
right.
crazy, and this dude would get 40. On some of the best players in the league, and then you'll never hear from again. But that particular day, he was the best in the world. Got the NBA is supposed to be the best.
Okay. I got your argument because I was going to say, can he get 40 consistently? Because I'm pretty sure you
one day.
And me, I got you one day. Because I know I can score back in the day. I don't think I could score consistently in the league, but I know I can hold my own if we had some run against some ball players.
This dude, Shake Milton, that played for the Sixers,
right.
just dropped 30-something, including like 15 on Kawhi. That'll probably never happen again. But today, he was
never.
The best player on the court. And if Kawhi is considered the best player on the court, then today he was the best player in the world. If
he was
better than Kawhi, if that's how you want to phrase it. So I don't like that term. I think you listen. You're really, really good. You're a great player, and just leave it like that. Now, one thing I will say is, if Joel Embiid's brain is locked in and his body hold up, there's no more difficult matchup in the league because there's nobody else like him. There are long people like Anthony Davis. There are athletic people like LeBron. There's nobody like him in the league. Nobody.
But what? What do you guys expect him to say? I mean, he's a confident NBA player. Yeah. I don't have a problem with him, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Yeah,
you think he's overconfident?
Overconfident.
Well, you know what?
If John Carlos Stanton came out and said, I'm the best slugger in baseball, what would you say, Lou?
Liar.
Oh, okay. Well, you that type of fan.
Okay.
Right. You that type of fan. You a type of that.
Look, you hit 50. Look, in 2018, you hit 59 home runs for a team that was absolute trash. You think you're the only one on the team? You may have contributed a lot to the team, but you are not by far one of the best players in the world. Your team was pathetic.
Hey.
Yeah, but see, well, wait. Hold on, because you mess with my Marlins now, so I got to get you. First of all, let me go ahead and go and told you. It's hard to hit 59 home runs on a team that only wins like 70 games because, like you said, the team was trash and there was nobody else on that team. They don't have to pitch to you. Todd Dobb, thank you, D. So for him to get 50, although his slugging was down and his batting average was down because I think he only batted like 236. But when they did give Groove him a fastball, which I couldn't understand why they would do it, but they did anyway, park it in the yard. So I'm going to defend Giancarlo on that. But you can say he's trash, but I'm just saying he played on a bad team, and he maybe got one or two pitches a game to hit, get a good solid pitch, and usually one of those two pitches ended up in the bleachers. So I got to give him some love. I think that's more impressive. Well, they're supposed to be because they traded most of their good players. But I think what he did in Miami is more impressive than what he could do in a star-studded lineup with the Yankees because he should be hitting 100 home runs with the Yankees because they can't pitch around him. He's got Judge. Who else? I think you got rid of the shortstop last year.
We did.
Yeah, I mean, he had a star-studded lineup. So, hey, he should be in the home run. Well, he can't stay healthy. That's the reason. He can't stay healthy in New York.
That's true.
But, shoot.
That's another problem.
I think he's
stay healthy.
When I heard Embiid make that statement, you know, I looked at him from a talent standpoint, and I said, you know, big man, you may be right, especially when you have guys like Barkley and Shaq on him. Really just riding him because he just certain things he failed to do. But what I believe he is not, if you're going to claim that you are the best player in the world, I believe you have to be able to make that case mentally. And, we can easily use Jordan, we can easily use Bryant, we can easily use Jordan. But you know who I'm going to use? Hakeem Olajuwon. That guy mentally tough on the court, and he has the skills to back it up. When you're that mentally tough, I really believe you just don't have to pronounce that. And so,
good point.
He has the tools to be one of the gifted big men, but mentally, he is a living. I don't like roller coasters. I don't. The last time my daughter talked me into going on a roller coaster with her and her friends, you would have thought I was at a Pentecostal church service, and all the thing I could keep coming out was Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because it was an emotional, it didn't even last that long. It probably didn't last no more than, what, 2-3 minutes? But that's what I think of Joel Embiid. He is just so emotionally unstable, like a roller coaster. He'll have me going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm going, how can you make the claim that you are the best player in the world when mentally? And I'm not against a player crying.
But hold up.
And
it's not even that. It's not even that. He doesn't even take care of his body. And ironically, the funny thing to me, two people who didn't believe in working out. Barkley and
right.
Shaq.
I was
talking
just
about
say
okay.
This.
Thank you. The same two people who Kobe said, "Damn, if Shaq would have took care of his body, we would have won what 3 or 4 more championships." So now they're right, but it's ironic. Those are the two people who getting on him by staying in shape.
But
two people who didn't do it themselves.
But that's why they can tell you what he can be. But they can tell you that, but I can't value those two guys going after Joel Embiid because Charles Barkley didn't always play up to his full potential every game. See, what they got on him about was shooting three-pointers. Now, Shaq could get on him because when Shaq beat from 98 to 2002, Shaq was the most dominant thing in the NBA. I know Kobe was on that team, but Kobe wasn't Kobe at that time. Shaq was unstoppable. They tried. They fouled him. They did everything. Shaq changed the rules. He made teams. He made the NBA adapt the zone. and he made them adapt the new hat. He made them revise the late game style rules. So Shaq and Shaq. So you got to give Shaq his due. Barkley whined a lot in Philly, especially that last couple of years. Because before the Miami Heat became a franchise, I was a Philadelphia Sixers fan, and he did a lot of whining. He did a lot of whining. So Charles Barkley got to be careful when he criticizes these young players sometimes, and think about what he was like when he played. But Joel Embiid, I think so. I get you, Walter, but Joel Embiid, to me, he's a guy with a lot of skill, but I think because he picked up basketball so late, I think the true passion for basketball is not there. I think he likes basketball, but I don't think he has the passion for basketball. I think Derek and Zach, that's why he doesn't work out or take care of his body.
Can I say this? Everybody remembers the best Joel Embiid was in the playoffs last year, right?
Right.
Number was hurting or something. But, like, every game in the playoffs, aside from the I can't play because I got bubble good, he was awesome. The reason why he was awesome was because he had Jimmy Butler. He had somebody to make him accountable. He will never say this out loud, but he don't like playing with Ben Simmons. He don't. He has his best game when Simmons is not in the game because he gets to play with the ball. Now, people, Charles Barkley and Shaq, get on him for dancing around that three-point line, but that's what's required of him while he's on that team. I really believe if you took him and put him in a team that was built for him, kind of like the Orlando Magic did with Dwight Howard, where he was a centerpiece and they gave him a bunch of shooters and said, we're going to give you the ball, and you go out and do your thing. Because remember, in the All-Star game, he was literally not – like, they couldn't do anything with him in the fourth quarter. Nothing.
Nope.
Nobody could do anything with him in the fourth quarter of the All-Star game, and those were the best of the best because he had the ball and he had shooters. Remember, he was on the block dancing, making LeBron go in the opposite direction and all kinds of stuff. You saw what he could do in the right situation. I just don't believe he's in the right situation. I think if you took him off that team and put him on another team that had a bunch of shooters like Phoenix, you would have a nightmare in Joel Embiid. You really would, because you just got a bunch of dudes that's like, give me the ball, I got you, Donnie. You got to cover him one-on-one to see what you do.
I agree with you on that, but I wouldn't invest in Joel Embiid. If I was a team and I was a franchise, I wouldn't make Joel. I just wouldn't because I don't think he really likes. I don't think he has the passion for the game. If I want my franchise guy, I want my franchise guy to be like Jordan. I want him to be like Kobe. I want him to be like Bird. I want him to be like Magic. I want a guy that eats, sleep, drink basketball. That's what I want. If a guy's gonna be my franchise guy, I need you to think about nothing but basketball. Aside from it might hurt your personal life and everything else, but if Joel Embiid really cared about his body, if he really cared about his body, he would really be passionate about. Giannis wants to destroy people. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to like you. He just want to destroy you. That guy cares about nothing but basketball. That's it.
Every time he sees Joel Embiid.
Yes.
He has his best games against Philly.
And what's so funny, D, Joel Embiid wants to laugh and joke with him, while Giannis is like, nah, dude, I'm not here to be your friend. I want to destroy you.
Right.
I want to take you down. And Joel Embiid, he's so blasé. He can get serious for a couple of minutes, and then he'll shoot a three-pointer, and then he'll just shrug his shoulders like, I missed it, so what? And then his personality, and Ben Simmons is such a nice kid. He don't want to get on him. He don't want to hold him accountable like Jimmy Butler. So you got two guys that are just, they don't mix to me. Their games don't mix, and their personalities don't mix. That's why Jimmy Butler was able to come in there and say, no, this is what you're going to do. You're going to rebound. No, Ben, I'm going to take the ball, and I'm going to get the ball in the fourth quarter, and you're going to get out of the way. See, Jimmy Butler came in and saw that. Hey, these guys need direction. That's why they did so well with Jimmy. But look how they're falling apart this year without Jimmy, because they don't have nobody holding them accountable. Brett Brown can't hold them accountable. He barely holding on to his job. He's scared to death. And Elton Brand's not holding them accountable. I don't know what he's doing. You need to pull both of those guys in the locker room. I paid $100 million for you two guys and Al Horford. We should not be the sixth best team in the Eastern Conference. We are the most talented roster in the Eastern Conference. We should not be the sixth best team. He needs
right.
to hold Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. He needs to hold them accountable.
Well, what
but
is
not,
the problem on the road though? That's what I'm trying to do. They're so dumb at home, but on the road they are completely different. What is wrong with them on the road?
Because they get to sleep in their own beds and ain't no
yeah.
new places to go.
Yeah.
When you go out of town, you know how young people is. You go out of town, you got to stay
yeah,
out late. Remember the last time they went to Miami, everybody went home and Ben Simmons didn't go.
Right.
Nope. He was like, I ain't finished having fun yet. Like, that's not a good recipe. Like, that's
no.
not a good idea. That team was built
disaster.
Around youth. And they didn't get a good mix of veterans that make guys accountable. Like, Udonis Haslam was never the best player on the Heat, but he was always the most
never.
Important because he made everybody else accountable. You have to have a dude like that. That was
yeah.
the first time they had one of them last year is Jimmy, and now Jimmy is out of there. Al Horford ain't going to do nothing. He's too quiet.
No. He's too nice.
He's too quiet. He ain't got no hood in him.
Yeah.
He's Jimmy.
No.
He did Jimmy, and that's why Embiid was highly upset when they let Jimmy leave. He was like, you're going to get Tobias Harris his money instead of Jimmy? Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely a head scratcher there. That was
not really.
Why?
I don't think it's a head scratcher because it was a personality clash between Jimmy Butler and the coach. It was Jimmy Butler that had to go to Brett Brown and say, listen, I want the ball in the fourth quarter. I don't care you drafted Ben
yeah.
Simmons number one. I don't care Joel Embiid is number one. I want the ball in the fourth quarter. He had to go to him and tell him that. So sometimes a bad personality, no matter how superior the talent is, it can rub people the wrong way. And it rubbed them the wrong way. Now, you can be a complete jerk
yeah.
in Miami because nobody's going to out-jerk Pat Riley. I'm sorry. Nobody's going to out-jerk
Jimmy.
Pat Riley.
Yeah,
Pat Riley's
going
to always gonna be top jerk. Exactly.
Yeah.
Pat Riley's going to always be top jerk. So he went to the perfect spot for him. He can cuss and fuss and do whatever he wants in that locker room. But when he go in Pat Riley's office, I bet you he quiet as a mouse. But you ain't going to out-jerk
yep.
Pat Riley. Ask LeBron James. Ask LeBron James, Maverick Carter, whoever else is on LeBron's team. And they were complaining about Pat Riley wouldn't loosen up rules. Pat Riley said, no. I run this down here. You just a player. I need you to play.
Right.
Your friends and your family are not coming in the locker room. You're just a player. You don't get to tell the organization what to do. You're an important player, but your friends and your family are not. Everything Dan Gilbert gave him to come back, Pat Riley wouldn't give him. And that's why he bolted.
Right.
That's why he was
right.
like, nah, I'm
yeah.
gone. I'm out of here. So, and that's why I'm Team. And that's why I was Team Petty when he left because I was like, what's more important? You want to win championships or you care about your friends having access to the Miami Heat locker room? Which one's more important to you? You know,
hey.
Are you that are you that soft? Are you that soft to where you like, well, Dan Gilbert? Gonna give me all these things that I want. He's gonna let my boys sit behind the bench. He's gonna let them be in the locker room and all this type of stuff. But you won't let me do it, so I gotta bounce.
I don't think he was that soft, Will. Y'all know how I always tell y'all about the AAU mentality and all the adults around the cheerleaders. That was the difference. Listen, he had finally ran into a man that wasn't his fan.
Right.
Pat Riley wasn't your fan.
That's
Pat
it.
Riley said, I'm the boss.
Right.
I'm not your fan. I don't care about none of that.
Yep.
If I don't get this $126 million to you, I'm going to give it to somebody else. Now, what you want to do? You want to come get this bag of rings? Or you want to stay up there and wear his pole and be the boss? He went and became the boss down there and then went back to Cleveland and tried to turn Cleveland into Miami. It just didn't work. Long term,
did he though?
It worked out one time.
Did he though? He tried to turn. What was really telling about that whole situation is it tells you that Dwayne Wade was a driving factor in LeBron James driving Miami Heat, joining the Miami Heat. It wasn't Pat Riley. It was Dwayne Wade. So their friendship is what got him to Miami. As for all this, Pat Riley can spot talent. So. Pat Riley's had some of the worst drafts there is. He just makes guys be good players.
Yeah.
Pat Riley took Bashawn Leonard, Ike Austin, Udonis Haslam. None of these people were drafted. Pat Riley turned these people into multi-millionaires. Pat Riley makes mistakes in drafts. He makes mistakes on personnel, but he's going to get the best out of the players that he gets. I mean, he made Anthony Mason and John Starks, who were career CBA players, into all-stars with the New York Knicks. Come on now. Come on. Pat Riley is Pat Riley. He going to get the best out of his people. And when he ran into LeBron, he was like, look, you're ultra talented. You're a very good player, but you just going to play here, bro. You're not going to tell us to let your friends have access to the locker room. No, it don't work like that.
Nope.
I wish more GMs were like Pat Riley, to be honest with you. I wish the Dolphins had a Pat Riley. I really do.
Hey, man, don't grow on trees, Will.
I know they don't, but they got to hold these guys accountable. And the reason why I say sometimes sports does not imitate life. Sports is great entertainment, but it don't imitate life. Because in our everyday work, we are held accountable for our job. We are held accountable. You don't do your job the right way, or you do something sketchy, you are let go. In sports, man, as long as you can run a 4-3, you can go out there and slap somebody, rob a bank, sell drugs, do all these other type of things, get 45 speed tickets, and you still got a job.
Yep.
Yeah. That's true.
That is very, very true.
So it's kind of hard. I just wish somebody would hold him accountable. Bill Belichick hold his guys accountable. Bill Belichick get rid of you 2 years before you. Sorry, he just can't do. He tried to do Tom Brady.
Right.
You know what though, Will? Today I read a thing about Bill Belichick. I like Bill Belichick as a coach anyway. I mean, I hate it because he's a Patriot. But today, you know, Bill Belichick, there was a athlete not invited to the combine. Bill Belichick went to Middle Tennessee State and told him, say, nah, don't worry about it. You're not invited. I'm going to come to you. And worked him out. I like that.
But that's why he wins, man. That's why he wins.
He saw this, and he's like, wow, I'm so impressed.
Yeah, but
how did you guys Florida State? I watched a couple of things. I watched the Louisville one with the Florida State, and then the last one Florida State played with Clemson. I mean, those were some tough losses there. You know, I'm hoping they don't end up dropping the ball when it comes time for the ACC tournament.
I do. I'm not a Florida State man. You're talking to Derek. Go ahead, D.
Look, bro. We don't want 24 games this year. We only lost five times. This is basketball.
Okay.
You're not gonna have your best night every night, but I can guarantee you, tournament time, I'm gonna have them boys up and ready to go. You can believe that. We won the ACC with far less talent. And this year, this might be the deepest team that Ham has had. Like, we got shooters, we got defenders, we got athletes, we got runners, we got big men, we got pretty much everything you need. Plus, the ACC ain't the toughest deal. So, we're gonna see. I feel what you're saying, but we're going to see.
What concerns me, though, is that just that mental toughness that when the tournament comes into play, start getting to 16-8. Is Florida State not going to take those? And like you said, not everyone's going to win every game. So are you going to take those mental lapses when you get to Sweet 16 in the Elite Eight? I mean, because I'm quite sure Florida State wants to win a national championship, but I just, you know, they got a good strong coach there.
Hey man, you know how I feel, man. If the refs in the tournament treat me right in the Elite Eight this time instead of doing me like they did me the last 2 years, we having a different conversation, man. It really, be honest. Let's be honest about it. It really depends on region and where we seated.
Okay.
That'll kind of tell us where we can go. Like the last couple of years, they screw us on the region. They always give us like the hardest region, no matter how good we are. And then say, hey, let me see what y'all do with this. So we're going to see.
Well, you don't want to see. You don't want to see the latest mock draft then, because they got y'all out west. So you don't want to see that.
They always do us like that when we have a good team, though, man. They sent us out there last year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
That's how they do us, bro. That's how they do us. It's okay. We're gonna make it.
All right, Dick. All right.
If you ask me, this may be Leonard Hamilton's best opportunity to win that national title, because there's no dominant team in basketball, in college basketball. So this may be his best opportunity to win it, because this is the worst group of one-and-done players I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
I know you're right. I know you're right. I heard about Cole Anthony for years, and I just ain't seeing it.
Oh, thank you. I thought I was the only one
seeing
that.
It, bro.
I watched him yesterday.
No.
He's garbage.
He's just a guard. I ain't seen nothing impressive about him at all.
Cole Anthony plays just like his daddy. That's the problem. Plays just like his daddy. That's the problem.
The most impressive player I've seen in college basketball this year is that guy Toppin. And the best athlete that I saw is that guy that played for Auburn, Okoro, the guard.
Yeah, Okoro.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is an NBA athlete now. The basketball player we don't see. The dude Toppin is a scorer. Like, he can put the ball in the hole. But aside from that, I'm like, he ain't a one and done. You know what I mean? They one and done. That little dude from Kentucky, Maxi, is decent. You know what I mean? When he on, but when he ain't on, you don't even know he on the court.
Ooh,
that's true.
He bad.
True.
When he is on, he is bad. Yeah.
Yeah, when he on, he on. But
and
when he ain't on, he off. He like J.R. Smith.
That group at Duke, man. I was like,
I saw that game against.
And you know why I like it, Will? Because Vernon Carey Jr., you know what he said? His exact words were, I could never go to Miami, play for Miami. I need to go where a real basketball team plays. Well, now you've seen, and okay, I respect that. But now, what you doing? And he was supposed to be the one and done. He's garbage.
He was following the trend, man. He want to go to the hot school.
Yeah.
He want to go to Duke. But I don't know if they pay attention. I don't know what they boost the alumni is like and all of that crap. But I do know this. Cameron Indoor is in the HOOD.
Say it again, somebody. Say it again.
Cameron Indoor is right off the block, player. Like, you can go get a nice big dime bag right across the street.
Not only that, they got liquor stores up the way, and they got a couple of foreigners with convenience stores. So you know you in the hood anyway. So go
stores
I'm trying to tell you.
So
I'm trying to tell you. Miami's got a much nicer campus than Duke. He followed a trend. He's just like a lot of other kids. They think Coach K. Yeah, he got some magic pill that gets them to the NBA. They must don't know there's internet and scouting everywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you
go.
Listen, man,
he ain't got no magic pill. All the best players run to him. That's what make him good. You think he got all them titles without NBA players? No, you do not. Y'all making him rich. Let's say it.
Sure.
I'll say it. Yep. I don't care. I'll say it.
No, they are
y'all
making
him rich.
They making him him and Nike or whoever they sponsor is. Because you can't tell me Coach K don't all of a sudden know about all these allegations of guys getting paid. He's just clueless to the whole situation. He don't know nothing.
Oh, man, he knows.
Right. It was all Jeff Capel.
He do like a coach on Blue Chip.
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys watched the show Ballers?
I did.
Okay. You see the episode in Ballers where the 17-year-old say, "Look, I'm trying to get paid." Okay, and it was almost like they say real life. Like you 17, yeah. Look, I'm trying to get paid. I mean, I don't care which one of y'all, whoever paid me the most is where I'm going, and that's how it is. You know, unfortunately. And speaking of which, today I met a kid. I took my little son to the arcade. Right, this kid was like 6'6", 280. I mean, he was up big. I mean, just muscle. So I wanted to say, man, let me ask you a question: who you play linebacker for?
He say, sir, and which I respect that. He say, no, I'm a quarterback, and I'm only in the 10th grade. I say, you what? And you know what?
Ooh,
he said, yeah, I'm in the 10th grade at Tucker High School. I said, I know you, sir. He said, nah, I'm going to start next year, though. He said, I'm waiting. But I respect him. He said, I'm waiting my time to die before me. He know the playbook, and I don't know the play. But you know what? By him saying that, I was like, man, this kid got his head together. For a kid to say that, but if you see him, he is a monster. He is a monster. I said, boy, Tucker High School next year, going to have something on their team.
Hey, man.
Okay, there's no way to bring this kid down, one, at least high school. Okay? 6'6", he got to be at least. But I'll say 260. And I thought he was a D lineman. He said, no, I'm a quarterback. So I said, oh, yeah, he about to get paid.
The baby,
he about to get paid.
The baby give you his reaction to all that. If none of that matters.
Yeah, right?
The baby,
huh?
the baby say none of that matters.
Obviously
he give
not.
You, he give you
nah.
His, he say he's not impressed by no big guy. We see that.
Nah,
it's all Cam Newton.
But guess what? The man was only in the 10th grade. But I tell you what, what's the most impressive thing to me, though, was he said, sir, and I like how he said, well, no, the guy behind me. How many kids you know talk like that? Now, the guy ahead of me know the playbook. I don't know the playbook, so he deserved to play. Those were his exact words. How many kids speak like that?
I hope his mama can get out of Decatur, DeKalb area then, because if he's that big and he's legit, he should demand at least $200,000 at least. At least 200,000.
Let's get that bag, baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Get that bag.
I believe recruiting is all dirty. I don't care if the college, basketball, college, football, I believe it's all dirty. I think that's why Miami fell off. Miami didn't know how to get dirty. They used only one crook.
Right.
They should have had five crooks like Alabama. They should have five crooks on the roster like Alabama, LSU, and Auburn. Don't have one. Because one get busted, then where your money? You ain't got no money to pay nobody else.
You got more
when the
money.
One got so, yeah, exactly. You need at least five crooks like the SEC school, so that way you better pay these kids. And they ain't asking for much. It's just a society thing, too, because I'm like, y'all at like $10,000-$20,000 is a lot of money for these boosters and these schools to pay these kids. That's nothing. The schools getting ready to make millions.
They made millions. They made that off the hot dog vending yesterday.
I'm trying to tell you. $10,000-$20,000 is nothing. Yeah, it's a lot. It's
a lot
of parents or people who've been struggling.
You seen the episode did you see the episode where the Rock's character is getting ready to sue the NCAA, right? And so he said, look, I dropped my lawsuit, pay the players. And you know what the guy head of the NCAA say? And are you crazy? And that cuts into our profits. Why would we do that? And I was like, wow.
Exactly.
That's all it is. But he said, but the thing is, you're still making a profit. But did the man say, did you not hear what I said? But it cuts into our profits. We're not trying
profit.
To cut into the profit.
Hey, man, we need all the money.
Yeah, he want all of it. Not they ain't trying to give out nothing. So be happy with the little 10-20 you give you when you come here, and don't get caught. And keep it quiet.
I agree with some. We gonna get out of here, but I agree with some what Jameel Hill said. I bet you if every black player went to HBCUs, I bet you they'll start paying players.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
Hey, man, that's a long one. We need to talk about that next time.
Yeah, that's
what I'm trying to tell you. If every black player went to an HBCU, I promise you they'll start playing. They'll play players the next day. They'll cut checks right here.
They'll be rolling out bricks. Hey, man, come get your money, man. We sorry. We sorry, man. We ain't even mean it like that. Man, it's just a big misunderstanding, man.
We ain't mean it like that, man.
Can I say something real quick?
I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Hey, folks.
Hey, if none of y'all else say, I love watching Ja Morant play. You got to watch that dude at least once.
I do.
At least once.
Me too. Yes.
I love watching him play. All right, that's all.
I got to check him out. I only saw highlights, so I'm gonna have to sit down and watch this game. Thank you, Mr. Walter. Thank you, Mr. Derek. Thank you, Zach. Mike, you are fired. If you listen to this show, you fired. I just kidding. I love you, boy. Y'all be easy. I close the podcast the same way every single time. Say a prayer for somebody because prayer changes things. I holler. Check me out in the morning. Be easy. Be safe.